all soils and even the ocean. What we spray on and against bugs are poisoning humans, whales, corals, well, planet Earth. Humans face extinction each and every time we drive another one of our animal and plant relatives into extinction. Visit extinctiondiaries.com for more information. My name is Cheyenne Sun Thunder, and this is Extinction Diaries, a Small World Radio production.
99.5 FM, WBAI, New York.
Coming up next is Ecologic, right here on WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org.
This earth to share with everything that grows. Don't you want to taste freedom, peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, telling where we're gonna plant our seed.
We could do. There's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Glad you can join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic for June 17th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today we speak with Bill D. Paola of Time's Up and the Museum of Reclaimed Urban Space to discuss urban gardens, bicycles, and an urban museum. But first, we have information about the Canadian wildfires, New York's radioactive wastewater bill, people versus fossil fuel actions, and a Roger Payne tribute.
The number one topic of conversation lately is the Canadian wildfires and the air they gave us. Eastern folks are now experiencing what Western folks have been experiencing every summer for several years, smoke from wildfires. People and organizations that almost never mention climate change are making the connection, even Fox and the governor of New York. When I saw on a map that the high smoke conditions had reached and passed Washington, D.C., I was optimistic enough to think the smoke might wake up a few folks in Washington when it got there about the importance of dealing with climate change issues. But it probably didn't.
The climate change deniers are out in full force, too. What they are calling the cause is almost word for word what climate change deniers said when the annual California wildfires first became big enough to make national news, except for the ones who claimed the California fires were set by Jewish lasers from outer space. Some of them have told Ken it's all arson. Arson has caused fires. This is a fire. Ergo, arson has caused it. Other people are saying it's natural. There have always been forest fires. Global warming will turn new plant growth to tinder. The fire can destroy not only trees, but saplings, the future of the forest. Wildfires over a large area also open up an ecosystem to invasive species, which are bad for native wildlife. If smoke can mess up our big lungs, it can mess up the little lungs of birds and small mammals in the wildfire areas.
It's the size of the fires that is so alarming. It's the dryness of the forest due to drought and global warming that is so alarming. There were hurricanes before climate change first began in the 19th century, but climate chaos made the hurricanes larger and more numerous. There were El Niños before climate chaos, but they were rare. Now they are common. We've all heard the cliche, my mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts. One of the climate change deniers Ken has been emailing with, who decided arson is the only cause, considers all information that says anything else to be a conspiracy. When Ken pointed out that different news sources are linking climate change, he says it's all a conspiracy. It seems to be his favorite phrase, ignorance really is bliss.
The state of New York has been warning about high fire risk for about 2 months, if I remember right. They have been setting fire breaks to keep the risk of a big fire as low as they can. A few words about fire suppression. It has been a controversial topic for decades. There have been forest fires for as long as there have been forests, but under normal conditions, a living, healthy tree is its own fire suppression. Dead trees burn completely. Live ones will burn only partially and slow the fires down, unless there's a lot of dry, dead underbrush to keep the fire going. The drier a tree is, the easier it is to catch fire and spread fire. Large old trees survive fire better than thin young ones, so old growth forests survive wildfires better than a commercial forest, though the commercial forest has less undergrowth and is watched more closely by forest rangers.
You might remember the fire triangle from school. A fire needs three things: fuel, heat, and oxygen. Removing any one of the things puts out a fire. That's what fire extinguishers and fire breaks and water do. Fire extinguishers block oxygen, water cools the fire down, and fire breaks remove fuel.
The Bulletin reports that in New York City, the Air Quality Index, a measure of air pollution and health safety risk, peaked at 484 last Wednesday evening, the highest ever recorded in the city. The index only goes up to 500. Philadelphia also surpassed 400. At some point, Delaware had worse air quality than New York City. A Washington Post analysis found that nearly 200 air quality monitoring stations recorded all-time high air pollution from wildfires by Wednesday. More than 100 million people were affected by unhealthy levels of air pollution this week.
Ooh. A Stanford study last year found that the number of U.S. residents who experienced at least a day of unhealthy pollution from wildfire smoke increased 27-fold between 2006 and 2020. So 25 million people experienced at least a day of unhealthy air pollution from wildfire smoke in 2020. Some scientists who study natural wildfires say that climate change is changing how fires behave and that their prior research is no longer relevant.
Although not even halfway through the year, Canada is on course for its worst wildfire season ever. On Thursday, June 8th, there were 437 active fires spread across 9 of the country's 13 provinces and territories, with almost 250 burning out of control.
The health effects of the air pollution have been widely disseminated. Ken's neighborhood had gotten down to less than 5% of people masked. But during the wildfires, that number was over half. Not everyone, for whatever reason. More denial? R. Paul Martin, producer of Back of the Book on WBAI Saturdays, 5 to 6 a.m., right before us, heard on TV that 15 minutes in that smoke was like smoking 11 cigarettes. That's because the wildfire pollution contained particulates that are the same size that cigarettes give us. Easy to inhale, not so easy to exhale. They stick to the lungs and lessen breathing capacity, which can put some people into the hospital.
As if that weren't bad enough, there have been some studies recently about the effect of wildfire smoke on the ozone layer. When Australia had those horrible fires that blackened the sky in late 2019 and early 2020, the smoke went all the way to the stratosphere, the upper atmosphere above the troposphere where we are. Satellites showed that the smoke was eating away at the ozone layer, which protects all life on Earth from the most intense ultraviolet radiation from the sun. At the time, they didn't know how the smoke was doing that. Now they do. An article in the prestigious science journal Nature was quoted in Science News magazine. Once in the stratosphere, the smoke particles were able to interact with stratospheric gases as well as lingering emissions of ozone-destroying chemicals. Add in solar radiation, and that smoky brew churned out chlorine radicals, a type of chemical with an affinity for attacking ozone. We link to the Science News article from our website, www.ecoradio.org. We had been making progress on closing the ozone layer hole from chlorofluorocarbons in the 1980s. Now, wildfires are ripping it again, to about the same extent.
Here is the Police singing One World. They had a minor hit with this song, but their record company did not include it on their best hits album, and I fear it is going to be forgotten, but not on Ecologic.
We have this little dimension about the tender nerve.
That was the Police singing One World.
Our older listeners may remember the 1970 recording of whale songs that helped lead to the Save the Whales movement and the international ban on commercial whaling. That was a great success. The scientist who discovered the communication between whales passed away last week. Roger Payne was principal advisor to Project SETI, Cetacean Translation Initiative, and a MacArthur Fellow. He noted how many species interact to keep any one species alive, including us humans, and hoped that understanding and communicating with other species will inspire a new conservation movement, just as his recordings did 50 years ago. We hope he's right, and we honor his work.
We have had several guests who told us about the bill to ban the Holtec Corporation from dumping Indian Point's radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River. The bipartisan support for that bill has been enormous. In the state Senate, it passed unanimously, 62-0. However, in the Assembly, where Republicans wanted to debate, it was not brought up before time ran out last Saturday. There is a special session planned for June 20th, and advocates are encouraging people to call their state assembly person, and particularly Assemblyman Heastie, to ensure that there is a discussion and a vote so that it gets to Governor Hochul before the scheduled dump in August. The governor has been somewhat cavalier about the effect of radiation on human health, but there is certainly a veto-proof majority. However, the first thing needed is a vote during the June 20th special session.
People versus Fossil Fuels reports on their National Week of Action in opposition to fossil fuel expansion, which, quote, began on June 8th with a mass rally and sit-in on the doorstep of the White House to demand that Biden stop the Mountain Valley Pipeline. Other actions across the country range from Paddle Out Zenith, a land and water rally in Portland, Oregon, to a series of demonstrations across the Great Lakes states to shut down Enbridge's Line 5 oil pipeline. Across the country, communities mobilized to lift up how each and every new fossil fuel project approved by the Biden administration exacerbates the climate emergency and sacrifices Black, Brown, Indigenous, and low-income white communities. The next big action planned is the March to End Fossil Fuels in September at the UN Climate Ambition Summit in New York City. For more information, their website is peoplevsfossilfuels.org.
On Monday, June 12th, in Bonn at the UN Climate Change Conference, Fiji reaffirmed its commitment to the Port Vila call for a just transition to fossil fuel-free Pacific in a statement during a conference side event expressing support for the call for the negotiation of a fossil fuel nonproliferation treaty.
Here is the crazy world of Arthur Brown with Fire, which had a legendary stage show for its time, 1968, and was an inspiration for the stage shows of Iggy Pop, Frank Zappa, and Alice Cooper. The song was produced by Kit Lambert and Pete Townsend.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you...
Saved and earned, but all of it's gone to burn. Let your merchants have
that should have woken you up. That was Fire by the Crazy World of Arthur Brown.
Special thanks to Charlie Olson of the Environment TV for helping to get the recorded portion of our show ready for you. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Ken Gale. And coming up in a few minutes is our interview with our guest, Bill DiPaola, on bicycle activism, urban gardens, car-free zones, and an urban museum.
Donna will be with us next week. We love to share with you. You can find many of our programs as premiums on ecologic.wbai.org. Leave off the www. You are so important to our continuing on the air, so we make these premiums with you in mind, to thank you for listening and donating to WBAI in the name of Ecologic. Really, we are grateful, and judging from those of you who share with Ken, Donna, and I when we meet, you are grateful to us as well. There's a lot of love here. One way to show that you care is to give a little hello in the form of a donation in the name of Ecologic to WBAI. Not everyone can give a lot of money. I know times are tight, but everyone can give something, right? That reminds me of how we ask people to do other forms of activism. Just do something. Supporting listener-supported radio is doing something. Do something, give something, all of the above. It's all important. And please accept our thanks in advance. Thank you.
We talked a lot earlier about the Canadian wildfires and how climate chaos is changing weather patterns and making storms bigger and more frequent, creating both floods and droughts. In fact, EcoWatch.com reports that the smoke reduced solar panel output, and it has gotten to Europe. And yet the connection between the global warming part of climate chaos and fossil fuel use is still seemingly prohibited on mainstream radio and television, surely for fear of upsetting advertisers, who can threaten to remove thousands of dollars of advertising. A network weatherman told our dear departed weather contributor, Tom Weissmuller, that he was not allowed to talk about climate change. That's what corporate news is like.
That's like what artist Bernie said to us a couple of weeks ago. He was taken off his popular radio program on a progressive station in the South when he said something critical of the sponsors. After station management, concerned about being able to continue, told him to go easy on the sponsors. That is why we need listener support, so that we cannot be constrained by the profit motive.
That's not an issue here at WBAI or at other Pacifica stations, as our funds come from listeners like you, and maybe a few public service announcements, but no commercial advertising. Did you make a donation during our recent fund drive? We hope so, but if not, it's not too late. In fact, a donation of at least $25 by the end of June makes you eligible to vote in WBAI's election coming up in a few months.
You who listen to WBAI have access to information that your friends and family who don't listen don't have. You hear experts they don't hear. You have facts they don't have. You know about events they don't know about. This is your station, your programming. Be part of it. And please show your love by donating in the name of Ecologic.
DVDs of our Celebration of Nature series are available as premiums with donations to WBAI, including June 3rd's featured replay of Nature for All, a.k.a. Birding While Black, for a $40 donation to WBAI. Call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
The other day, I was talking to one of my friends, and she commented that she had recently rediscovered WBAI. We have such a great history. Some of us have been listening for decades, not always consistently, but we come back and find good programs. Some of them are old favorites. Ecologic has been on WBAI for 21 years. Help ensure that when you tune in next, we are here for you. Please consider supporting us with a donation today to let us know you're listening. No amount is too small or too big. You can contribute by credit or debit card or mail in a check. Call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
Ecologic has brought so many important programs to you over the years, 21 years as of tomorrow. We and WBAI continue to bring you great content only because of support of listeners like you, and we have to ask for your help or how will you know what we need? Ecologic brings you actions you can take,
rallies, marches, direct actions, letters, emails, petitions, concerts, webinars. It's all important. Some of us can't get to remote actions, but there are lots of ways to support, including donating to WBAI and Ecologic so that we can continue to bring you activists, journalists, eyewitnesses, and more, along with environmental music and artists. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. We call out bad actions and celebrate positive steps. We watch for actions to back up statements and call out empty rhetoric and greenwashing. Support us. It's really important for you to help WBAI and the Pacifica Network. You are hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in. You listen to Ecologic, so be a part of it. Annual membership in WBAI is just $25. So join us as a voting member, or even better, as a sustaining BAI buddy for $10 a month or more, whatever you can spare. It can be set up through your credit card or bank account to be automatic. If that's not right for you now, then just making a donation today is a little hello that lets us know that you're listening, that you care about Ecologic and WBAI. Support your show. Call now, 212-209-2950, or go to give2wbai.org. Coming up in a few minutes is our interview with our guest, Bill DePaola, on bicycle activism, urban gardens, car-free zones, and an urban museum.
We hope that you took advantage of the recent two-week fun drive to get 24 hours of WBAI programming on the best of BAI shows and favorite hosts' thumb drive. It can still be yours with a $99 donation. Call now, 212-209-2950, or go to give2wbai.org.
If you hear a show coming on that you've heard before, please don't tune to another station. Go to the WBAI archives and listen to an episode of Ecologic that you missed or want to hear again. www.ecoradio.org has a list of the last 3 years of Ecologic and direct links to hear them.
I was at a rally recently and was telling a couple about Ecologic, and they asked me what radio station it was on. When I told them WBAI, they said, "Of course, where else would you find a radio show like that?" That has resonated with me ever since. Only on a listener-supported radio station would something like Ecologic exist, or almost any other WBAI show for that matter. All other radio stations take fossil fuel money, even college radio and other public stations. Ecologic has the freedom to criticize the fossil fuel industry because they can't threaten to remove their advertising because we don't have their advertising. We have you. And the more of you there are donating, the more freedom we have. Membership to WBAI is merely $25. And we have premiums to give you if you donate more than that. For $40, we'll give you the video version of Nature for All, Birding While Black, that was turned into a video by Charlie Olson of the Environment TV. Or for $99, we'll give you the best of BAI shows and favorite hosts, thumb drive, including the Nature for All video, as well as 23 more hours of great WBAI programming. Call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org.
WBAI and Ecologic cover New York City stories, but also state and national issues. They're usually connected. What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It's the air we breathe and the water we drink, the creatures with whom we share this planet. Indigenous folks acknowledge them all as relatives. From the increasingly undemocratic Indian Point Decommissioning Oversight Board meetings and the danger of Holtec potentially dumping radioactive wastewater into the Hudson to Cop City and the latest on the Ohio derailment with National Transportation Safety Board hearings coming up next week, we bring experts to help determine how federal, state, and local decisions intersect. We interview activists and advocates fighting the bad decisions and working to get good politics passed, good policies. Let us know that you appreciate our reporting by calling 212-209-2950 or going to give2wbai.org or ecologic.wbai.org and making a donation or signing up as a sustaining BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic.
Ecologic serves you and the community with many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. We don't take corporate donations, which is why you are so important to us.
This morning we talked a lot about the wildfires, but every week we have several news stories to catch your interest. From monarch butterflies on Ken's head to falcons and a hawk on New York City roofs, we try to keep you guessing on what's next, but always with solid information so that you learn something new every week. We support every environmental issue, so a donation to us is like supporting every group. We talk about actions, seminars, lobbying efforts, and more. Help us to help community groups get the word out.
I have been hosting Ecologic on BAI for 21 years tomorrow, so we have covered lots of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. Maybe you'd be interested in bottled water and the plastic it comes in, with four other shows, or maybe the original Connect the Dots DVD. We have more than 25 items from which you can choose. They make great gifts as well as treats for yourself. Go to ecologic.wbai.org. Leave off the www to make your selection. Or maybe you can find just $10 or more a month to be a sustaining BAI buddy. Any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly appreciated.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
We really hope you'll take the time to look through our list of premiums. We're sure you'll find something you'll want. You can find all our premiums on ecologic.wbai.org.
Now you'll hear from our guest, Bill DePaola. Welcome, Bill. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Hi, I'm here.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My name is Bill DePaola. I was born in New York City, and about 35 years ago, I started an environmental organization called Time's Up in 1987. And then about 10 years ago, I started a museum called the Museum of Reclaimed Urban Space, a history museum that covers activism, groups, and spaces.
And you are also involved in bicycle activism, and you have a great way of connecting urban gardens and bicycle activism.
Yeah, early on, like I said, Time's Up started in 1987 as an environmental organization. And then we realized as we were going to different campaigns, moving around, organizing, demonstrating, volunteering, we were all using our bicycles. And not many people were bicycling in New York City at the time. It was mostly in the Lower East Side where I lived. It had been a financial crisis, so a lot of people rebuilt the neighborhood themselves. That's why there's so many squats, community gardens, community centers. So there's a lot more sustainable people in this one area. That's why we put the museum there later on. So we had been kind of bicycling around to all these things, and then we realized, well, as soon as you get on a bike, it's good for the planet. So that was one of our campaigns, was to get more people on bikes. But the city didn't really care about that. So then we started teaming up with...
Wait a minute. Didn't care. They tried to stop you.
Right. Well, that was later on. At first, they pretended they cared. And then we teamed up. I think in 1991, we were teaming up with the Hub Station. There was George Bliss, who was later on started the pedal cabs in New York. And in 1992, actually, we teamed up with Green Apple Map. I'm kind of looking at our timeline. And because we're so old now, I thought we have a timeline. And then we kind of came up with strategies. You know, it's all about strategies, getting more these pedal cabs out there, getting more bicyclists out there. And the way we did that was very simple. It's math. You know, it's a strategy. We had organized these group bike rides through Central Park at night because the city was very dangerous. So we had auto-free rides in Central Park, auto-free rides to Coney Island, auto-free rides in Prospect Park, mostly at night and kind of fun. And then little by little, as time went on, the rides got bigger and bigger. And every time we did a ride of about 100 people on bikes, we would get 10 new people. And some of those people would start commuting to work. So we saw it working. you know, and then after a long time, a ride started in California called the Critical Mass. And it was all about what we were trying to do. We're just trying to increase biking. It's a scientific term, critical mass. Once you reach that, you can't go backwards. And I think what happened is every time we kept trying to increase biking, we kept going backwards. So we realized we had to create a lot of new bicyclists. And I'm not sure if you want me to go on with that story, but eventually, you know, around 19, I mean, as time went on, we kept doing more and more group bike rides. Giuliani was mayor. And then he announced that he was going to destroy all the community gardens. And that was a really big deal to us because a lot of our volunteers had been volunteering in the gardens. They're all volunteer run, started by volunteers, kind of connected to this situation where people reclaim the spaces in the land, and recycling was started in this way too in the Lower East Side. And then the city picked up and the gardens were composting. So then we had to kind of redo with a lot of the bicyclists where we're using the community gardens and to kind of help save the gardens. But the gardens were very friendly towards the bicyclists because at this point we would kind of ride our bikes from the Lower East Side up to Times Square, hold our bikes in the air and say, Times Square should be auto-free. And the police would chase us back downtown, hundreds of police. And then we'd end up in the community gardens because it was kind of like the space where the police wouldn't go. And then we would have like parties or barbecues and just till the police died down. And then we told people, oh, by the way, the city's going to destroy these gardens. And some of the bicycle activists really helped out with that campaign. So that would be around the year of 1999, 2000. We had to really gear up to save the gardens because they were all going to be auctioned. And these gardens were all over the city, 500 of them. And a lot of groups got together, did a lot of protesting, and we actually did prevent them from going to the auctions. And there was a group called More Gardens, the Lower East Side Collective, and the group I work with, Time's Up. We kind of had a big standoff in one of the gardens on 7th Street called Esperanza, where we had encamped it with 100 people, made a big publicity stunt about it. And we had been in the courtroom at the same time of the eviction, and the judge was supposed to give us a temporary restraining order to save that garden. But, of course, the city, being who they are, they had hundreds of police and helicopters, and they destroyed the garden before the judge made the decision. That judge, Huttner, then came back and made a temporary restraining order to save all the gardens. And then that lasted 10 years, was re-signed, that we had to do more protesting. So the gardens, yeah, some of them were destroyed, and most of them we saved. And I think Green Thumb, the group that's kind of the city-run helping with the gardens, they're trying to kind of eliminate that history that, you know, the city wanted to destroy all the gardens. Therefore, we, again, to move ahead in my timeline, we started this Museum of Reclaimed Urban Space to kind of show, no, people save the gardens and all these sustainable things happen in the gardens, and the gardens are run by volunteers. So I'm trying to show the positiveness of this history. But if you want me to, I'll go back to the bikes now. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so the gardens were saved. That was kind of a big victory. You know, in the middle of this whole thing would be people who fixed up this Lower Side neighborhood. We're also dealing with now gentrification coming, and they were standing off in Tompkins Square Park. Now, that's a different story, but we could – let me get through the environmental stuff, and we could talk about how people, when they rebuilt the neighborhood, were then trying to save it for them, you know, all the great things that they've done. And that's known as – if anybody wants to look, it's called the Tompkins Square Park riots, which is – the city wanted to gentrify the neighborhood. But back to the bike thing, around 2003 – we organized this thing called Bike Summer, and it was like just a celebration of biking, and we just really ramped up the group bike rides. Around 2004, Steve Stolman, who was organizing this group called Light Wheels on 49 East Houston Street, recognized that, wow, Time's Up has a lot of volunteers, and he started letting us use this space, which is incredible because it was a really big space, and we were able to do pretty much bike repair classes and workshops and recycling bikes, just like another group called Recycle a Bike was getting kids on bikes. And we were trying to do that as well. And we were empowering people by that. And I guess at 2004, the Republican National Convention came to Madison Square Garden in New York City, and the police actually met the police actually met with us for the first time. Usually they just try to arrest us or harass us. Say, hey, we'd like to have a formal meeting with you. And we were like, okay, fine, on the sidewalk. You know, because at that time they were outside in their unmarked cars every day and scooter patrols. Every time we went anywhere, were following us. There was a big misunderstanding of biking. They thought we were blocking traffic with our group bike rides. And we were like, no, we are traffic. So we had a lot of lawsuits going on that we were winning. Norman Siegel took on our cause, a great lawyer, and was using the Constitution to say that we have a right to ride our bicycles. And then there were hundreds of lawyers coming from all groups. National Lawyers Guild was involved. 100 blacks in law enforcement. Just amazing amount of people coming to our aid with this right to ride bicycles. So when the police did meet with us, the city, kind of the unofficial meeting on the sidewalk with these high-ranking police officers, and they said, well, the Republican National Convention's coming, so we want you to cancel all your events, you know, that are around that. And we're like, well, we feel differently. Why shouldn't the Republicans see New York City with bicycles? We're not going to demonstrate them. We're just bicycle rides that we're doing. We're going to continue our calendar of events. And they were very happy with that. And they did focus on this one ride. It wasn't really our ride. It was one we were helping with, the critical mass ride. And it just happened to fall on one of their nights. And by this making the paper now, within the paper, the police tell them can't ride their bikes. It was back and forth. And lawyers, more people showed up than we normally had on these bike rides because they were so upset that the Republicans said we shouldn't ride bikes during the convention. You know, they wanted to show the city as some kind of capitalist city. And we were trying to show, no, this could be an urban design city. Why are people around the world using cities to live in, and America is some kind of capitalist city where you don't have to live? Biking is part of that. Auto-free streets are part of that. And we wanted to highlight that, which we were doing with our calendar. But to make a long story short, this one big bike ride, they tried to stop it every way they could, but the bikes just weaved through them, and some of them maybe passed the convention center, and we had to end it at a church on 10th Street, the St. Mark's Church on 2nd Avenue, and because that had a big space, so now we couldn't use a garden anymore. We had to use a church to protect the bicycles at the end because we get picked off at the end. So there was around 200 people arrested, maybe more, at the church after the ride was over, right at the gate where people are struggling to get in. And that became a pretty famous ride, you know, because there was just such crazy arrests. It was about the Republicans. But soon after that, we accomplished our goal.
I want to say something about St. Mark's Church, because I was at a meeting there, and the pastor of the church came into the meeting and said, if anybody came here by bike, get your bikes into the churchyard, because the cops are taking every bike. They're cutting every lock. So their church has been very supportive.
Exactly. And that is the case. And it's hard for people to understand. I'm really glad you brought that up, because in the process of trying to stop the energy of these group bike rides and us reaching this critical mass where the city can't go back, the city did some very outrageous things that were outside the law. And if there were places like the St. Mark's Church or other places that were kind of supportive, or even bikes with stickers on them, the city would randomly go around and cut them and kind of steal people's property, which we had another lawsuit about that. So they were very supportive, but, you know, there was a lot of crackdown going on and a lot of illegal stuff, which is so strange. Normally, as a strategist, you think the police are going to you obey by the law, they obey by the law. But this one thing, non-polluting transportation, they just did not want to change the way the city was. They were very stubborn and very slow. So we had to create the product. And we did with the group bikes. We created more bicyclists, started the pedicabs. Some of the pedicabs even were having electricity. We're also kind of having traffic calming rides to get the cars out of the parks, kind of introducing urban design. But then around 2005, right after this whole thing, they were so embarrassed by what they did in the worldwide media at the Republican National Convention, and people were like, what's wrong with bicycling? Why are you being against it? That it kind of backfired on them, and they looked bad, and they kind of started implementing some of the things we wanted by putting in a new – and also at this point we had reached critical mass. And then they asked what we want. So we want a new DOT commissioner who understands these things, not just a – they put in Jeanette Sitikon, immediately started putting in the bike lanes. The bike lanes then led to the auto-free plazas, which we were asking for. Times Square then became auto-free. Central Park, well, that took a little bit longer, became auto-free. Prospect Park and things like the Greenway. Now, you had this city that was never had these things and was kind of – the city was now on board with this new way. And then they met with us again, Time's Up, and they said, hey, we put all this in. It was millions and millions of dollars, but no one's using it. And then we – I got out my little clipboard, went up to Times Square, and as someone sitting in a chair at Times Square, the Europeans were so used to pedestrian plazas and so used to – bicycling and the park, and they it was ecotourism, and they came back, they flocked back to New York City because they had been coming for years. It was on their circuit. I'll go to Paris, I'll go to New York City, I'll go to Rome, right? And then they never saw this new New York City. Their favorite place, Times Square, now had a chair sitting in the middle of it. So the tourists then supported these things from, you know, 2000 and all the way up to, I would say, 2007, 2008, 2009, until the New Yorkers caught on to it. And then, of course,
yeah, I remember the first bike lane Mayor Koch put in, I think it was 6th Avenue, and he put it in at the beginning of winter. And then he said, well, nobody's using the bike lane. And it's like, you know, if he put it in the summer, of course, it would have been used right away. So he was putting it in to fail. And now, well, we're almost running out of time. Oh. There's hundreds of thousands of bike commuters in New York City. Hundreds of thousands.
I'm thinking of how much ahead of your time you were. Everybody's talking about complete streets now and you know, taking the streets back from the cars and doing something about all the parking. And you were there early on, recognizing what people really need. Yeah.
And I would have to say, I think we did underestimate, and I knew that when you get the bikes in, but, you know, the idea that the bikes would then get the bike lanes, we kind of knew that, or the greenways, and really changed the way the city was thinking about it. Because I think once the city experimented and the Europeans supported it, they said, wow, this cleans our air, this reduces traffic, this makes people healthier, and it looks good globally. So they kind of took our position, and it all happened. But then they kind of left out all the direct action part. Who started recycling? How did the pedicab start? How did this all happen? And so then to speed up, in 2012, we started the Museum of Reclaimed Urban Space, and we put it in a squat. What is a squat? It's a community house where people kind of fixed up the houses just like they fixed up the gardens, and they still run them and they put in their own time and money. So we put it in this famous punk squat. We connected punk music with, you know, the idea of radicalness and standing up for your neighborhood. And that is the Museum of Reclaimed Urban Space, which is surrounded by these beautiful gardens.
Where is that?
And that is 155 Avenue C in New York City. And it's in a squat.
What streets?
Between 9th and 10th Street, and we're doing amazing programming. We have an opening today of the refrigerators that are on the street, and we're talking about, you know, how the refrigerators kind of got going, and they're feeding people, and we have all the history, and students come there from all over the world, and we give them these sustainable tours.
Bill, we have run out of time. I mean, it's been so wonderful talking to you, but – we have run out of time.
It's crazy.
Time's up.
Time's up.
Yes. Thanks for joining us this morning. For more information, visit us at www.ecoradio.org. That's ecoradio.org. In addition to an archive of our past shows, we have information on a variety of environmental topics.
And for more information on today's topics, go to www.timesup.org or www.morusnyc.org, Museum of Reclaimed Urban Space, right? morusnyc.org. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Thanks for caring about the planet.
Oh, a church in East Rockaway, Nassau County, Long Island, is still helping people recovering from Hurricane Sandy, among other things. And I will be appearing at a comic book convention to raise money for them. It's today, Saturday, June 17th, at Bethany Church, 100 Main Street in East Rockaway, Nassau County. That's today, Bethany Church, 100 Main Street, East Rockaway, Nassau County. And join us next week, Saturday, June 24th. Check our website for details. To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found both on ecologic.wbai.org and on give2wbai.org. To become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. We love to see those BAI buddy pledges.
Most of the WBAI staff, including us, are volunteers. WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And, of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially. We're always glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 a.m., live or on the archives. If you listen live, we may be able to take your call and answer your questions.
We'd love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We're at WBAI Ecologic, no dashes, WBAI Ecologic. We have more than 1,000 following and are eagerly awaiting our 1,000th like. As of yesterday, we're at 998. Will you be the 1,000th to like our page? If you see that you are, comment on our post to let us know you want us to thank you on the air.
If you missed the beginning of the show, it will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes. Our thanks to our engineer, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert. Join us next Saturday, June 24th, or find us on the archives. Check our website for details.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
Afrobeat Radio, in collaboration with WBAI, presents Afrobeat's Night of Music, Dance and Fun on June 22nd from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. at SOB's, 204 Varick Street, New York, New York. Afrobeat's music straight from the motherland, Lagos, capital of Afrobeats. I am Wui Jacobs, co-host of Afrobeat Radio, broadcasting at 10 p.m. to midnight on Wednesdays. I'd like to invite you to a very special WBAI fundraising benefit night of Afrobeat music, dance, and fun with DJ Nenim. Get your tickets at WBAI.org for a premium donation of $25. Or you can call 212-209-2950. That number again is 212-209-2950 to make a pledge of $25 and be at Afrobeat Radio's Afrobeats Night of Music, Dance and Fun on June 22nd at 7 p.m. at SOB's right here in New York City.
WBAI's 2023 Local Station Board election is here, and we invite you to participate. Join or renew your membership by June 30th to vote or run as a candidate. Make a minimum donation of $25 by calling 212-209-2950 or visit wbai.wedidit.it to become a BAI buddy today. Make sure to give your email to receive your e-ballot. For more information, visit elections.pacifica.org. There you will find the voter guide, candidate nomination package, and nominator registration. Candidate nomination packets must be completed by June 30th. Any questions or concerns? Contact the Pacifica Radio National Election Supervisor by emailing nes@pacifica.org or leaving a voicemail on 213-635-9363. Thanks very much. It's 99.5 FM WBAI in New York and online at WBAI.org.
I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past 2 days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.